listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
And he said, Greg, you know, we've really appreciated all that you've done. Now, keep in mind, the youth group had grown from 17 kids to about 125 kids.
Mm-hmm.
We had to split it in half. The junior high met on one night a week, the senior high another night. I had a multiple staff. I had one of the guys, Jack Schaefer, was my middle school direct pastor. I worked with him and the youth. And then in the older kids, I was focused in on them. But a lot of kids, and to do it well, to shepherd that many kids, you can't shepherd 125. I'm telling you, kids are everywhere.
Yeah.
So we assigned. Kids are everywhere. I mean, they're so busy in their lives and things going on. So we had to use our staff to appoint them to certain kids to try to minister and come alongside them in life.
Yeah.
Many of them, like you, didn't have a spiritual father
or
a father at all.
Mm-hmm.
So. We're doing this, and the things are flying, and the guy says, you know, Greg, we really appreciate all you've done with youth ministry, but the pastor and I have been talking, and we really would like to hire somebody who does youth and children's ministry, get two for one, and you're a youth pastor.
Well, what's the difference? I'll explain the difference.
Well, a youth pastor is over students.
Yeah.
Okay. Older students from middle school up through high school.
Yeah.
A children's pastor is over kids from nursery to
Why didn't
today,
they think you could have done all that?
Well, he knew that was not my heart. I didn't feel called to do all that.
Oh, okay.
And so they wanted me to leave. They wanted me to do it privately and quietly. Well, building up to this, I had been preaching several times in the year, like about six times a year, they would have me preach.
Yeah.
And the congregation, now I grew up in this church, so these little ladies who had changed my diapers are just loving it, you know?
Yeah.
Look at Greg, you know, what the Lord's done. And it was going well. Anyway, these guys, and now keep in mind, my father sat on the board of the church and had no clue that this was happening. It was not something that went through proper channels. It was a pastor, the lead pastor, and one of his guys who made this decision. So I went home that day devastated.
Yeah.
And I remember I went prostrate on the ground, and I cried.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I never asked to go into the ministry. You called me. And I'm not going to beg to stay here.
No.
But if you're in this, then I need you to reveal to me and provide the next place you want me to serve.
Yeah.
I got up. I never told anybody. I never even told my dad. I left it alone. It was like the Lord said to me, don't touch it. Let me handle this matter.
Mm.
You're my child. You just follow me. So I never told anybody. And 2 weeks to the day that I prayed, I got a call from Mike O'Meyer, the pastor in Palm Beach Gardens.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Well, every year we'd go to a youth convention, and kids from all over, the churches all over the state.
So you had met him there.
And I met him there, and I would do conferences at the convention, and he would do conferences, and we became friends.
Yeah.
But he had no clue what was going on. I never told anybody.
Yeah.
And he said, Greg, I don't know how to share this with you, but I really sense from God that I need to ask you if you'd consider coming to Palm Beach Gardens to be my associate pastor and youth pastor.
Wow.
2 weeks
probably
to the day.
Probably a pay raise, too.
Actually, no.
No?
Because it was a smaller church than the one I was in.
All right.
And I prayed, and I thanked the Lord just for the opportunity, and we went down. Renee and I both went down and met with the board, and they were going to match our current salary in Daytona,
which was
a step of faith for them to do that,
because
it was a congregation of about 220, about 225, 230.
Yeah.
And so we said, we just sensed the Lord all over it. We had a peace. We said yes. So we were married in December.
Yeah.
But we started our new ministry back in, when was it? Was it August? So God just worked it all out.
And simply amazing.
So she and I, and so I was there for 2.5 years under him, and then he was going to leave and go back to school, to get his doctorate.
Hmm.
And I, now keep in mind, I don't have a degree. I'm all the way through. The first guy that brought me into Daytona, I said, I don't even have a degree. He said,
well, neither did Jesus.
But you know what he said? He was wise. He, this guy sat on the national board as the chairman of the executive council of the whole movement, the denomination. Well, he said, well,
so what did he say?
He said, hey, you're going to come here and you're going to get on the job training and you can take classes on the side. Don't let the ethereal rule out the practical.
Wow. Very good.
Wise.
That was wise.
So now I'm down in Gardens. I'm an associate pastor and I start taking classes down at Knox Theological Seminary.
Oh.
And so
the senior pastor is going to leave.
Dr. James Kennedy, the school that he started.
Sure.
Yeah. So the senior pastor's leaving. The elder board chairman came to me and said, Greg, we'd like for you to consider coming on staff as the lead pastor.
Wow.
And at least in a transitional period at first. Well, get this. I had just returned 2 weeks earlier from visiting Vero Beach, Florida, First Church of God, where Tom Bates had asked me to come up and consider being the associate pastor, or the youth pastor. And I had been at Gardens for now 2 years. And so we, because I knew the pastor was going to be leaving, because I knew the senior pastor where I was going to leave, I thought maybe God's telling me I need to go. So we went up and visited. We came back, and on the way home, we had a wonderful time visiting, but we didn't have a sense of release.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it. Got back home. And
they offer you this.
Then they came and said, we'd like for you to be the interim.
So you took it.
So I said, only if you take it before the congregation, I'd like to hear what they think. 100% vote.
Really?
So I said, okay, so here's what we'll do. I mean, talking about a guy that's in fear, because I'm really not prepared for this, okay? Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. Young kid.
Yeah, how old were you?
I was, at that time, I was like 25 years old.
That's young.
And so 26, something like that. So anyway, I said, okay, so we'll do it for 6 months. And then let's, if we still feel the same, then we'll go back to the congregation again for a vote for me to be permanent.
Yeah.
We did, 98% vote. I knew. And so that's how I came into the pastoral ministry, the senior pastoral ministry, all the time taking classes, you know, trying to get that side of it completed. And so I was there for 21 years.
21 years.
Yeah. And made tremendous inroads in the business community. Chuck Schumacher has several dealerships all over the county.
Was he a Christian?
Yes.
Oh.
He worships at a Presbyterian church. But anyway, Chuck had me and two or three other pastors come into his dealership on Wednesday mornings at 7 or 7:30 a.m.
To pray with his guys?
To all businessmen from the community were welcome to come in the sales office upstairs of the North Lake Boulevard Schumacher Buick office.
Wow.
And it'd hold about 50 or 60 chairs.
Wow.
And we would do verse-by-verse Bible teaching with Christian businessmen. It was powerful.
Yeah.
And just a lot of inroads like that all over the county for 21 years is a long time to spend in one location.
Yeah.
And then God called us to come up to Vero. We came up here.
Well, how did that happen? I mean, you just left those people. They must have been upset.
Well,
you
they had just thrown a 20-year anniversary for me.
Oh, boy. And now you're going to divorce us?
Now, listen. In January, I got a letter. Hey, we'd like you to consider coming up. We have a vacancy in our senior role. We'd like for you to consider it. I wasn't interested at all. I was just in love with what I was doing. Yeah. Rainey and I even prayed, Lord, let us make this a life commitment here at the church and in this county among these people.
Yeah.
And
we
want to
freeze frame it.
Yeah.
Because we all want to freeze frame. I have a line in one of my songs, or a poem, whatever it was I wrote, that you're going down the river of life, and so we want to get up on the bank and build a nice little house and everything, but sooner or later, the river is going to flow, there's going to be a height in the river, and it's going to wash that thing away because nothing is stagnant. We want let's keep the kids this age, let's keep the grandkids this age, let's keep everything like this. Can we freeze frame it? Because I go back now thinking my
and
Aunt
we look
Hattie's
at it as our Camelot.
Boom.
That's our Camelot.
Camelot. In short, is simply not a more congenial spot than happy ever aftering than here in Camelot.
They need you in on Broadway, man.
I had to learn that because I was an MC at a big event up here at Windsor for and that was the theme, Camelot. But anyway,
so
you're in Camelot. And God has other plans.
Yeah, he did. So we went 6 months and didn't even respond. No. And then finally they called and said, look, we're about to shut down the gathering of resumes, but we really would like you to pray about this and consider it. And then I waited 2 more months. In August, I was miserable. My wife said to me, honey, if you don't at least respond, we're going to throw you out of the boat because you're making us miserable. You're miserable. You're making us miserable.
This is your wife.
And I had even told.
So she has wisdom and insight.
Yes, very much. And I had told the elders of the church I was pastoring all about it. I didn't hide it from them.
Mm.
And I said, I just pray with me. Maybe I can help this church find their next pastor. That's how I took it.
Yeah.
Well, then by August, I'm writing and I told my elders, guys, I don't know why, but I feel like I need to at least respond to them. I did, and by the next April, I preached my first sermon at that church.
That's the one that I went to and saw you at.
Yes.
Out here in town.
Interestingly enough, you might remember this, Rhett, first Sunday in April, preached a sermon on the life-giving church and shared the gospel.
Yeah.
And I invited people to come and pray at the altar and to receive Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And a little man, older man, came and knelt. And so after we had ministered at the front, I went down to the altar next to him. I said, sir, how can I help you? And he said, I want Christ. And I went, praise God. This is an older man, you know, getting saved. So we prayed together, and he goes, well, he was so happy, you know, and he goes, well, I'm off today to San Diego. I said, you have grandkids out in San Diego and a family? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm a major league umpire. He goes, the season starts today.
He was on my show. What was his name?
Don't do that to me.
He was on my show, yeah.
37 years as a major league umpire, the longest term an umpire served in the majors.
Yeah.
Bruce Fremming.
Yes, Bruce Fremming, very good.
And his wife, when he came back the next year after the season ended, Rose Marie came to me and she said, Pastor, I have a new husband.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Bless the Lord. I worship him.